It's Friday, September 30th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Aloha. Welcome, everyone. Got a great show for you tonight.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Todd Cochran, your host of the Geek News Central podcast. And as always, I want to thank all of my long-term subscribers. Thank you for staying subscribed and being with us. Also, for all of you that are new and checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there, including all the older podcasts on the archive, and get signed up for the mailing list. Well, thank goodness it's Friday, huh, folks? And I tell you, it's been a very, very busy week. And I must apologize, when I did the show Monday night, I was beyond exhausted. And I got a few emails from you folks saying, hey, were you tired on the last show? And I was like, yeah, I was really, really tired. But batteries charged tonight. No Red Bull tonight, but I do have an ice cold Coca-Cola sitting here. And no diet for me. Please, but I have a regular one, and I'm all fired up and ready to talk tech with you tonight. I tell you what, you guys keep me motivated. As much email as I'm starting to get, it's almost too much. I do appreciate the commentary. I really, really do. I've got to figure a way to keep the listener email down from going 10 minutes like we've been going recently, but I don't want to miss any good comments that you all pass to me, so we'll try to get through it. Hey, but you know what I was thinking tonight? You know, I do a lot of reading of different web blogs via my RSS news reader. I'm using FeedDemon, and I kind of feel like, you know, I haven't updated my list in a long time, but I wonder what all of the listeners are actually reading for web blogs. So what I'd like you to do, and this is if everyone sent me 5 web blogs, all of you sent me the best 5 of your best kept secrets. You know, where you go find information, what you like to read. You know, don't send me the regular ones like Engadget and Gizmodo. You know, send me stuff that is off the wall that you really like reading. It comes up with unique stuff from time to time. But send me your top 5, and then what I'll do is I will compile all of those into one big list, and then we'll release it to all of you so that everyone can share in what was considered the top 5 for each of you that are listening to the show. Along with that, I'll add my top 5, and we'll have a pretty good list. So we'll do that, 2 or 3 shows from now. Send those in to geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get those logged and written down. Hey, I had a great meeting yesterday, 2 hours, in fact. As a matter of fact, our weekly meeting over at podcasternews.com has been going gangbusters. I am really, I'm really excited, and I cannot wait to bring this site to the world and let everyone see it. I'm really excited about what we've got going on over there. Everyone that I've talked to privately is like, man, this thing's got to go, and it is going to go. It's going to be huge. So we're looking forward to bringing that launch to you soon. The closed beta should be in progress tomorrow, and then hopefully we'll have this thing shook out and be able to launch relatively shortly. Okay, you all know I'm going to Podcast Expo, and I know some of you that listen to this show are podcasters are also going. And obviously they've got stuff for us to do Friday and Saturday. And of course, with the podcast awards ceremony going on at the Marriott across the street on Friday evening at 5, but what I was thinking was, Sunday, I was thinking about maybe I just fly home on Sunday and be back to work on Monday. I thought, well, I'm sure there's a lot of podcasters in California that are going to be hanging out on Sunday. So if you're going to hang out on Sunday and do something as a group, or if you guys want to meet together, collaborate, whatever, do some training, do some, you know, I'm sure we're going to get our brains filled pretty good on Friday and Saturday. Well, let me know if you're going to hang out on Sunday. Maybe I'll stay an extra day. Give me a reason to stay, all right? Give me a reason to stay on Sunday. Also, I want to thank everyone that sent donations in for the hurricane relief. I'm going to send out, I have a amount of money, a little over $100 left that I need to send. I'm going to send that because I haven't got any more requests, any more tech requests. If anybody's down in that region that has a tech request, send it now, because if you don't, on Monday, I'm going to contribute the rest of it to the American Red Cross. And I just want to get that turned over and move it. But I have not received any more tech requests. Also, one thing I've got going on that I wanted to talk about over at podcastconnect.com, I'm starting to take podcaster submissions again. So if you're a podcaster and you're looking to basically kick your podcast up a notch and to get it set up so where you can possibly find advertisers to help pay for a few bills, go over to Podcast Connect, go to the podcast link, send me an email. We'll send you our form back. You fill that out and it'll be self-explanatory and we'll get you hooked up with our network over there. Also, if you have promos, send them to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Now, how many of you have seen this guy that is on TV called Chris Angel? He's in Vegas at the Aladdin, I guess, doing these amazing magic shows. This guy is freaking me out. I'm sure, obviously, there's stuff that's an illusion, but if you have not seen this guy's TV show yet, it's one that I'm recording on a DVR. We watched one tonight before I did the show where he walked down the side of a building, walked down the side of the Aladdin Hotel. Okay, I don't know. You guys tell me how he did it. But he's done some pretty freaky stuff, and if you haven't checked out the show, that's one that you're going to want to record. I was pretty impressed, to say the least. What else do I have tonight? I think that's all I've got for general announcements. But I want you all to pay attention, okay? And we're going to save you some money. But the main thing is, you really, if you want to get this good deal, time is running out. GoDaddy.com is offering $1.99 domain names, transfers, renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy. But only until October 10th. Okay, only until October 10th can you get this $1.99 deal. Each domain includes a complete email, a $9.95 value, a free, plus as you being a listener to the show, you get an additional 10% off any order. But the $1.99 domain sale expires October 10th, so order now at GoDaddy.com. And don't forget, enter Geek3, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 3 as your source code to get that 10% off. And that's going to work beyond the October 10th expiration on those $1.99 domains. Okay, what else do I have? I've got a bunch of show notes that I need to go over. A couple that I missed last time. And one I got back from Alan. And Alan has told me about a box he saw. He says, "Hey, Todd, hope the day goes well for you today. Here's a new product I saw at a wireless trade show on Friday." So it had been a week ago Friday. It's a mobile Wi-Fi LAN hub. You stick a Verizon or Sprint EVDO data card in it, and it's a Wi-Fi hub. It has LAN capability, too, with fuzzy logic that auto-switches over show the primary line die. Okay. Cool green color, too. And he thought it was pretty cool. I've talked about some of these before. I don't know if this is the same one, but I'll put the link up in the listener show note links. Or actually, yeah, the listener show note links. Additionally, I got an email from Jim. He wanted to know about Hot Recorder. Jim, I've used Hot Recorder before. I think it's a pretty cool recorder. Works real good. And hey, let me know what you've thought of it. I know you've been playing around with it a little bit, and I have used it. Okay. And also he asks, is there any way to conference Google Talk calls within similar software? I'm not sure. I really don't, Jim. I don't know if that's possible or not. But he did turn me on to a website that's called StoryCorps, StoryCorps.net. Pretty cool little site, okay? And I'll put the link up. If that's one you definitely want to go over and check out, it's short stories, people telling stories, intimate stories too. Family members, friends, something that's happened. There's some 911 testimonials in there. Check it out, storycorps.net, okay? Bob sent me a comment on his experience with iTunes, and he said, since he's updated to version 5.0.1 on iTunes and also upgraded software on his iPod mini, he's had a much more favorable experience with his iPod. He said there's now a podcast menu item that is available. Using that is very easy to find and listen to podcasts. One of my favorite features is that if I stop in the middle of a podcast doing something else, like synchronizing or listening to something else, it doesn't lose my place in the previous podcast, and that's great. So I'm glad to see that's happened. I guess I know I've updated to 5.0.1, but I don't think I've updated my actual iPod. I'm going to have to go out and check out and see if I'm current on there. But he does say the important part is to also upgrade the iPod software. So thanks for that input there, Bob. I really do appreciate it. Now, I did get a considerable number of emails, and I won't go through them all, on people saying, yep, they went back to iPod or Lemon. And I know the iPod or Lemon, I believe version 2.2 is out, and I'm running that now, and I'm real happy with it. I'm just I'm not completely satisfied with the iTunes experience. I know some of you are. And I do appreciate you staying subscribed. And those of you that are getting the show via audio, that's cool too. It's all good. Wherever you find us, it's much appreciated. Now, the comment of the week, or actually, yeah, comment of the show, comes from Danny. And he found the answer to importing and exporting iTunes subscriptions. Remember on the last show, one person had asked, how do I move my iTunes from one computer to the other? And here is what, and he put this on his website over at wakingideas.com. Thanks for the link over there too, Daniel. And I'll put your link up to your show. And here he says, here's how to do it in iTunes. You right click on the podcast section in the left sidebar. You should see the option export song list. Select this option and that will bring up a save as window. In the format section of that window, you want to select OPML and then save it where you like. That's it. Then, I suspect you can transfer this OPML file to another computer or program. Importing on another computer in iTunes should be as easy as selecting File, Import, and then selecting the OPML file. That should load up the podcast subscription. I haven't tried this onto another computer, but I did throw the OPML file into a NetNewsWire Lite, and it loaded up the podcast just fine. And he says, thanks for the show. Thank you, Daniel, for finding that. And I think that's, we're going to put that obviously in the link blog, those notes that he sent me. So all of you can check that out if you want to go over there and find that info. Now, that's going to work for those of you that are actually using iPod or Lemon and you want to go to iTunes. It's a way to, sounds like you just import the current podcast that you're listening to that way. So good to go. And I do appreciate the time that you took to find that. Now, I did get another comment from Rob, and he says he's using a USB hard drive to keep his entire My Documents folder on under Windows 2000 and Windows XP, and all of his iTunes settings are stored under the My Music directory. And when he has his USB drive plugged into his laptop or his desktop, he can listen to the podcast on that computer without skipping a beat. So he just basically moves the USB drive, and it just moves that information from automatically from one computer to the other. But he's also made a change within his computer setup that he's made that My Documents go to that USB drive. And apparently, that's what he's done there, is he's actually remapped the My Documents to the USB stick. And you'd have to have the same drive letter, etc., on both. Well, actually, you wouldn't. Just have to have that. That's a good way to do that. It's kind of smart, Rob, but make sure you're backing that up, okay? That sucker has a tendency to go south. Or, you know, you can lose data. I've lost data on a USB stick before. Jeff from Louisville, hey, he made a great comment on this Atenza that we linked to last week. He really likes it, and I do too. I think it's a pretty nice program. Mark sent me a link to some more information on the HD DVD. And I'm going to link that up. It's a Tom's Hardware article. And I had seen that, but I didn't put it up in the blog. But I will put it up in the show notes tonight. And I do thank you for your info on that. He's got some more information there, too, that I'll transfer what's appropriate into the link blog. Excuse me. Bill makes a comment. He says he doesn't understand. This is in reference to the iPod Nano. He says, I don't understand why Apple just doesn't recommend, or someone else for that matter, to use screen protectors. And I agree, that would be a good way to keep the screens from being scratched up. But I think what it is it's an aesthetics thing. People don't want to have those, you know, the screen screen protectors on top of the Nanos. But that's one way to do it. I also saw that someone found that if you use Brasso, if you take a little Brasso and put it on, and those of you didn't know what Brasso is used to polish brass. You can use a little Brasso on top of the screen, and that's being said as a good way to do it too. Now I read that on a web blog, so don't blame me. I would test in small quantities in a small area first, okay? Bill, he says he wants help with RSS, and he says, and I don't quite follow you on this, Bill, so I'm going to read it, and then maybe you can send me another reply, and I'm assuming it's because you're using a website that is not RSS capable and you're hand coding the RSS file. But he says, okay, now I have a problem. I wondered if you might throw it open to your listeners. It occurs to me that there's a real lack of simple tutorials on how to output RSS feeds from a MySQL database. I have news items on my website, and I like to have them automatically added to the top of the RSS feed whenever I updated the site. Okay, that should be done with, if you're using Weblog, that should be automatically. If you're not, then if you're having to hand code that, I agree, that's a total pain. Why don't you let me know, Phil, what you're actually using to blog, or if you're just doing stuff on a static website. I understand that you're trying to maybe suck that back from if you have a database-driven website and it's not fully blog capable. Let us know. Give me a few more details there, and we see if we can help you out. I did get a link from Alan talking about some cool cameras that will connect to a phone line that emails pictures to a website or a phone all by itself. Put the link up to that. And I got an email from one of our listeners that wanted to know where they can get the ukulele music. Hey, it's a family member. They don't have a regular CD out yet. When they do, we'll put it up in the notes, and I'll let you know as soon as possible. I got a great link from Ivor from the UK. He says, in the UK, I get cable TV with Telewest. They recently launched this teleport feature, which means that I now can watch the majority of my favorite programs anytime. They stream it down to the TV. Who needs a DVD recorder? And the best of it is that it is free to use as part of the normal package. So I'm going to go ahead and link the link that he had for that. So those of you that are in the UK that are using Telewest already, sounds like a pretty cool service. I wish they had that here in the States. And of course, I got an email from some more email from Jason talking about the phone that we talked about the Motorola E815, and says how he likes the phone also. This is the weekend we switched to Verizon, and on Tuesday I will report to you which phone I picked up, okay? Okay, most of you are aware that we've been doing these training sessions over at techpodcast.com every 3 weeks, having these live events using GoToMeeting. And I just want to make a personal comment tonight. Using that application has really kind of transformed how I do business online with people. You know, it saved me a lot of headache where I can collaborate with people basically instantaneously on the phone, being able to bring up the screen and we can share the information and do work and even web development. I can point to stuff and so this is what I want changed or this is what I like or don't like. And it just works so, so well. So if you're looking for a collaborative tool or if you're in an office setting that, you know, your boss has said, hey, we're not going to travel that much anymore. You're going to do more phone and type of, you know, basically phone meetings and that type of stuff. Check this thing out for 30 days, okay? Get your free trial. Go to gotomeeting.com/techroundtable. Get a free trial there for 30 days. Give it a try. You don't need a credit card with that link. And I think you'll really like it if you haven't tried it already. And if nothing else, play with, you know, setting up a meeting with me and I'll show you the power of this thing. It's pretty awesome. So I want to thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor over there at techpodcast.com. All right, I've got a great lineup tonight of news and information. As always, lots of great news today. I found a site starting right off that it was linked over on Daypop, and Daypop's gotten better. You know, they had some problems for a while, daypop.com. But this website, it was just a link. It said, what is this? And you go to the website, and it looks like a Microsoft website because it's got an Xbox 360 link at the bottom, and it's copyright Microsoft. But it shows a tree with all these dangling flags, basically, from different countries. And it's at Origin, O-R-I-G-E-N, Xbox 360. I'll put the link up in the show notes. You guys need to check this out. It's pretty cool. I don't fully understand what they're doing there, but it's a pretty cool interactive website. It's something I haven't quite seen before, and I think you'll get a kick out of it when you get over there. I think you'll get a kick out of Talking Rabbits, too. It's pretty cool. Okay, MSN has added a search plugin for Firefox. Microsoft's MSN sent out an enhancement in the form of a plugin for users of the Firefox browser from Mozilla. It's pretty nice, so go ahead and check out this new plugin from MSN. I found an article on searchenginewatch.com that says the title of it's Roll Your Own Search Engine with Rollio, R-O-L-L-Y-O. And this is kind of a unique deal, and it uses some existing search engines, but how many times have you wanted to be able to search just a certain specific sites for a term? What this does is Rollio allows you to take up to 25 URLs and create your own search tool. Basically, you can search up to 25 sites that you set up with this application, and it's a kind of like a search role. So if you've got specific sites that you want to search on only, this is kind of a cool way to do that. And I played with it a little bit, and I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. Now, I wish I could take all of my RSS feeds, not just be limited to 25, but be able to take, you know, like the 400 or so web feeds that I read and actually make that all one roll. Well, that'd be pretty cool, but I don't think that maybe the limitation of their licensing, it goes through and it uses the, it's powered by Yahoo, so it's going to search the Yahoo index. Now, it looks like that there's options where you can go to the other major websites and set up these big, you know, search logarithms and stuff to be able to do the same thing. But this just makes it a lot easier. So check that out. How many of you have been following what's been going on over at video.google.com? I haven't paid a lot of attention to this. You know, I haven't been into Google real big. But there's an amazing amount of videos that are being put up over there. And if you haven't checked that out in a while, go over there and do that. I'm pretty impressed it's just the amazing number of videos. It's amazing what people are putting out there. And if you're storing your videos on Google, why don't you write to me about that and tell me what you're doing, and maybe even give me a link to some of your videos, and we'll talk about it on the show. Now, you're going to have to move fast on this one, folks, because I don't think it's going to last very long. Now, the website, if you go to this website, it's called uneasysilence.com. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The graphic of the top of the website is pretty disturbing. It really is. It's something out of somebody's psychotic nightmare. But the article that is linked in here is how to download music videos from iTunes. Now, I'm sure that what they're suggesting here is probably maybe not completely what Apple wants you doing. But this gentleman has found a PHP script which allows people to download complete music videos from iTunes. And you have the option of downloading the smaller or the larger .mov format. So check this out. Quite a few comments on this. I'm sure it won't be long before Apple puts a hammer down on this, but it's there for the time being. Now, there's another site that is up, and this probably is not going to last very long either, so you're going to need to get over there immediately tomorrow if you want to have, especially live in the New York area, and you want to have the New York City subway map to be able to import it and use on your PSP. Now, you may have remembered that the New York City BART or whoever they are over there told another website to take something like this down, but someone else has got another site up that has almost the same info, but you can import it into your PSP. And I also saw a site that will allow you to import the subway map onto a iPod, so that's kind of cool. You know, how many times have you, I know that I've been in a lot of foreign countries and wish that I really had a subway map. And I know if I was going to be traveling to New York or any city that has a subway and I had something where I could put it on my PDA or put it in the PSP or on my iPod, I would do it. So check this out. And this was a link that I found up on Engadget. Okay, the FCC has okayed voice IP wiretaps, and they've given the voice IP carriers an extension on their 911 cutoff. Now, for those of you that have voice IP connections through Vonage, etc., you probably have gotten a notice from Vonage saying, or the voice IP carrier that you're with saying, that you have to acknowledge that there are risk of 911 usage with your net phones. And basically, they've gave the carriers until October 31st now to answer this. Now, apparently, up to like 10,000 customers have not replied and could lose their service if they do not reply. Along with that, the FCC has given approval to say that voice IP connections can now be wiretapped by the FBI. So there has to be some provisions put in by the providers, I guess, but I'm sure it won't take them very long to get those in. I knew, obviously, that was going to happen. We all knew that, and especially for, the, you know, obviously those of us that live here in the United States. But I just wonder how they're going to control, you know, that's what if people use proxies and all this other, we'll see. We'll see what happens on this. I'm sure if the bad guys want to get around this type of stuff, they can. But obviously the FCC has said that the feds, with the right type of search warrant, can do that. Now, how many of you are hardcore music fans? I mean, how many of you love your vinyl? I know there's some of you out there that still love your vinyl. I know I love my vinyl. You know, those of you that have grew up within the CD, you know, basically listen to nothing but CDs, what you need to do is you need to find one of us that are hardcore vinyl people, and if they've got a good stereo system and they have a top-end record player, you listen to some of the songs on vinyl, we may be able to convert you. But anyway, a website that's called Music Giants is releasing, now this is for you hardcore media buffs, they're releasing lossless audio, and it's being encoded at 1,100 kilobits per second versus the 128 to 192 that are on a standard download service. So obviously the fidelity is much, much greater. And the service is $50 a year plus the downloads, obviously. But you have to have real high-end audio cards in order to be able to actually get the quality out of the lossless audio file. So, you know, they're talking about you're going to need like $1,100 audio card. It's probably going to cost more than your PC, but if you're a hardcore audio buff and you have a Lynx 2 audio card, that would be a start. Now, of course, you can go to that SoundVault 400 gig hard drive that's $9,500 too. But I guess if you're hardcore, this may be the way to go. Music Giants, and looks pretty cool. And I tell you what, I really like high quality music, and this would be something. I don't have $1,100 audio card, but this might be something that will be able to finally allow me to retire some of the vinyl stuff that I have. And I don't play it that often, but, you know, every once in a while, it's just good to, you know, put a record on, make sure it's nice and clean, cue it up. And if it's just no deeper, the bass is just, those of you that know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going to say, oh, Todd, you know what you're talking about. CDs, you know, it sounds the same. You can't tell the difference. Well, you can. It depends on the turntable you have and whether it's high quality enough, or, you know, you got a good needle, etc. Okay, I got found a new website. It's a gentleman's name is Paul Mooney. He writes the .netjunkies.com website. Pretty good write-up that he has here on basically what's happening with the new Dell computers that were announced today, the Dell XPS brand. Those of you that are into high-end computers, this is not your $399 computers, okay, that you're going to find on sale at the local big box. These are some very nice PCs. And one thing that I found interesting in this article is they are Windows Vista enabled. So if you're beta testing Windows Vista, this might be a good box to buy. Of course, they're real top end. So check that out. I've started to follow a website called TechCrunch.com. And today they have an article over there that says, it's titled OPML, which is Outline Processor Markup Language. It's basically OPML, an awesome experiment. And I'm just going to quote what they've said here real quick. We've been following the evolution of Dave Weiner's OPML editor for most of the year. We've experimented with it, but never fully understood all of the incredible potential that it has. And that's all I'm going to really read of the article directly from their website. But I think a lot of people are going to start seeing a lot of things about OPML. And there's a lot of stuff in the RSS feeds today about OPML and people asking for some new capabilities be added to blogging software, and something has already been released for movable type. There was something released today for WordPress that is for OPML. And if you haven't been following it, pay attention to what's going on in the OPML space, because I think we're going to start seeing some integration of OPML into blogs that haven't been used before in different types of ways. Some of the things that Dave's done with his tool, with his OPML editor, is totally awesome, and people are writing code for their weblogs is compatible with his editor. So keep your eye on that space, and I'm going to follow it too and follow up more. And maybe we'll talk a little more about it in a future podcast, because I'm sure some of you don't fully understand OPML and what it does. For those of you that are running your own websites out there, you want to check out a new tool that Yahoo has released called Site Explorer. Basically what it does is it allows you to show all the subpages within a URL. It also, you can see the subpages under a path. It's a pretty cool tool. I played around with it a little bit. Check that out. I found this article over on whysearchblog.com. I'll link the article up, of course, in the show notes. And I think those of you that are webmasters will get some use out of this, okay? Over on tech.memorandum.com, they're reporting, of course, there was an article that was linked in by another site that's from the googleaddiction.blogspot.com blog, that apparently Google is developing a calendar service, and it's supposedly going to be called G Calendar. Of course, this has been speculation for a while now, but apparently this is a new tool or new service that Google is going to be rolling out. Kind of makes sense. They've got Gmail. So if they're going to start replacing the functionality of Outlook on the website, that's the next valid step, you know, going to have a calendar, have a task bar, you know, all that types of stuff, task manager. So I will keep an eye on that, see what else we can find. Okay, those of you that are Adobe Photoshop Elements users, Photoshop Elements version 4.0 has hit the shelves this week, has a bunch of improvements to it. And one thing that is pretty cool in it is that it has a tool in it now that allows, it looks at faces and pictures and registers them, and it can tag them, and then you can go back and find photos with those particular people's picture in. It's kind of got to take this, you know, photo identification type algorithm in it. Pretty awesome. I don't know how well it works. They're talking it up on the review. But anyway, Photo Elements version 4.0. Okay, PC World is reporting that SanDisk has put copy control on a flash card. And I don't know how I feel about this. On one hand, it makes sense. The other hand, it doesn't. But what they've done is they have, on a standard flash card, you know, USB flash card, whatever it may be, they have embedded a DRM code into that so that, and basically what this is targeting is, let's say, for example, music stores wanted to start selling singles via a vending machine in their store. Okay, I'm just going to use this as an example. And this isn't what they're saying this is going to be used for, but this is kind of the idea behind it. So if you have one of these sticks with DRM on the stick, you'd be able to go in, plug that stick into the machine, pay for a song, and download. It would register to that stick that says, that belongs to me. That is, you know, and it won't allow you to transfer to other computers and stuff. So it's a way to motivate providers of music, games, and movies and other content to sell these products, you know, either for mobile phones or whatever it may be that they're going to plug into. So pretty cool idea. But I really, when I hear that the manufacturer is putting DRM, building it into a flash memory, it kind of makes me go, oh no, what are they doing? But hopefully, I understand the reason they're going to sell this. So check the article out yourself. I'll let you form your own opinion. Anything that has DRM in it just makes me shudder a little bit, as you guys all know. in a turn of events today, do you guys remember the band member from Switchfoot who complained about the DRM that was built into the CD that was being sold, where people could play it in their CD players but could not copy the music to their computers to put it on their MP3 players? And how he had went on a Sony forum and just basically told people how disgusted he was, and then gave them the trick on how to work around that so that they could copy those off. Sony deleted the post off the board, and then EMI, who I guess is the one that actually produces the album for Switchfoot, has basically told people if they're having problems, they're going to recall CDs, and they're going to reprint, and they're going to remove this this lockdown that they put on there, this copy protection software, whatever the code was. And they've told people that they can come in and swap those out for CDs that are going to permit that. And that was a mistake. What they did there was a quote-unquote mistake. So they're going to fix that. Now, I'm sure all of the negative publicity drove EMI to doing this. It's obviously good that the band stood up and complained and made him take action. So nice to see this happen. And I don't know if any of you bought that CD, but if you did, you can go out there and get it swapped out, so you can get one that you can put on your computer and load onto your MP3 player. How many of you have heard about NASA and Google are going to be building a research center together? And they're going to be doing it at the old NAS. Actually, it's the old Moffett Field in Silicon Valley. I think this is pretty interesting development, where they're saying that the two parties are going to be collaborating a number of projects, including some sort of a large-scale data management and distributed computing thing. Now, how come the national labs, which are the ones that set up to do all this massive computing and that type of stuff, are the ones that NASA's not teaming with? I'm just wondering why that happened. So this makes me really scratch my chin a little bit and wonder what the total objectives are. It just tells me that Google has got some tools that they built that NASA must be really, really interested in for them to do this partnership. It'll be curious to see what happens and what develops in this. Now, on Saturday, a new ISS crew, International Space Station crew, is going to be blasting off from Kazakhstan, and they are going to be rendezvousing with the International Space Station, swapping crew out, and they've got one of those tourists on board that are going to be spending 8 days on the International Space Station. I guess I'll keep you advised via the Geek News Central website on what's happening there, so that you can keep track. I'm sure it'll be in the news this weekend. All right, it looks like the Congress is going to dabble into trying to outlaw P2P. And there's been some movement, it looks like, that some senators are saying that we're going to go after this. I think we need to keep an eye on it. And there's no bills at this time, but it looks like some people are getting ready to do something. The comments that are being made out of Congress, it looks like that there is some consideration for it. So, of course, it'll be confined to the United States legal system, but a law that's going to a law that will outlaw peer-to-peer file sharing is obviously possible at some point, so we'll have to keep an eye out for that. Sony is pulling their hair out right now. Apparently, the hackers who keep cracking its PlayStation Portable software, they are just not having any luck. The hackers just keep outpacing them, and the company is preparing another update to the PSP firmware to fix a recently disclosed bug that is letting hackers downgrade the PSP system. And if you remember correctly, they had upgraded it to stop people from being able to use their own software applications on there. So, this is going to be a tug of war that's going to continue. We'll see what happens. For those of you that are PSP users, this is a great article that's over at news.com. Tomorrow, those of you that are Skype users, a new Skype release is coming out. It's been in beta since August. It's going to give you some new abilities. It's going to allow you to forward your Skype account to a landline. It's also going to allow you to forward your Skype address to another Skype account. For me, this is perfect because when I'm at work, I'm not on a broadband connection where I can use Skype. So I'm just going to start forwarding my Skype to my cell phone. Now, you guys will tear me up if it's 2 cents a minute. We'll have fun with it. But I'm going to download it. I'll play around with it, let you know how it goes. And if you get me on my cell phone, don't be surprised, because I'm going to definitely integrate that into my daily movements on when I'm on broadband and when I'm not. In a shocking statement today, NASA's chief Michael Griffin told USA Today that the manned space shuttle and International Space Station projects have been misguided for decades. I about fell out of my chair when I read this. And of course, the news of this spread all over the blog sphere and has drove all kinds of content being said about it. And there's some great content over at news.com on what bloggers are saying. Personally, I think travel to space is good. And I think it, you know, we need to keep pushing the envelope. And obviously, we need to get the space shuttle replaced. But wow, what an admission from the boss over there. Well, you know, that's a surefire way to get your budget cut. You know, we've been misguided. You know, we've been wasting money for a long time. You know, we need a new direction. Well, I'm sure Congress is going to hook him up. I really do. All right, over at, what's the website? It's over at computerworld.com. I guess Microsoft traveled to Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia to get feedback from the Hack in the Box security conference that was going down. They've asked for some feedback on IE7. I guess they got a good amount of feedback from those that were at the conference. And, you know, this is the first time really, you know, actually it isn't the first time. We know that Microsoft has reached out on campus to some hackers and brought them in to talk about products. But this is the first time I think they've traveled outside of the country or went to a actual, you know, they actually showed up at one of these events and asked for feedback. So we'll keep an eye on what Microsoft doing there. It's good to see that they're going out and trying to improve the product by getting feedback from people that are used to making Microsoft's life miserable. All right, all of you that are using peer-to-peer, watch your mailboxes, because another 757 people have been sued by the Recording Industry Association of America. They went after them, additional people. That brings the grand total to 14,800 people that have been sued. The question I'm going to ask is, when is this nonsense going to stop? And when are people going to stand up and push back on the RIAA? It's just sad. It really is. Boing Boing has a link to a amplifier. It's called the 30-buck toy amp, kicking all kinds of, I can't say it on the show, but a pretty good article about a amplifier, audio amplifier, that people are using. They're saying it's pretty awesome. I went over to Amazon, took a look at the reviews over there, kind of about half and half, but it's curious that a high-end hi-fi catalog that is well-known wrote a good article about this and actually had praises for this $30 amplifier. So those of you that are looking for a cheap amp to drive some stuff that you maybe are doing with your MP3 player or with other types of tools, go over there and check this out at Boing Boing. I may order one of these and play around with it and actually put it up on my lab and see what kind of performance it actually has. Okay, we're at the final article for this evening, and I just relate a little personal story here. I had a phone that I had a couple of years ago. It was a T-Mobile phone. It was just a Samsung, I believe. And I was overseas, and I wanted to basically buy a SIM card and use a SIM in the phone while I was over there. Long story short, the phone was locked, couldn't do it. And I actually got online a couple of days later when I was overseas and found how to get the phone unlocked and was able to unlock the phone, and then I was able to put a SIM card in it and use it internationally. Well, the mobile carriers don't want you doing that because obviously they want you to buy a new phone. Now, I've got, with T-Mobile, I have a Motorola phone. And let's see if I can find the model number here on this phone that I have right now. I've got what is the model? It's a V600 is the model number. But obviously, the networks are a little different between T-Mobile and Verizon. So the phone, as far as I know, will not work with Verizon's network. So I've got a nice V600 phone. It's going to be useless to me here in a few days. I'll probably just eBay it because it's only a year old. But on Boing Boing, they've got an article that talks about phone unlockers versus the DMCA. And obviously, mobile phone companies are arguing that companies that unlock their handsets violate the DMCA. Personally, I think if you can find a site that you can unlock your phone, go ahead and do it, especially if you're changing carriers and want to use that phone with another carrier, you know, you paid for the handset. It's yours, all right? And there's lots of sites out there that has information on that. So long as the network is the same and compatible from one to the other, you can keep your same handset if it's still good. That way, when you go sign up for service, you tell them, no, I don't need a phone. I just need this one programmed. And hopefully they'll program it for you and you're able to use it without having to, you know, they lock you into these contracts, etc. So anyway, that's an interesting article over there on Boing Boing, last one for the evening. As always, I want to thank all of you for being part of our family here, staying subscribed, and being part of our show. Thanks for sending all the great contents. I'm going to start linking more to those of you that are linking to our site. I do appreciate it. I've seen a great increase. I know all of you have been listening to me, and I got to do some payback here for those of you that are putting us in your blog role. And I promise to start doing that on the website and driving some traffic your way. I do want to mention that we've got, I think, 5 new associate editors that are on the Geek News Central website that are going to be actually posting materials. I want to welcome them aboard. They're obviously going to be introducing themselves. Treat them as nice as you've all treated me. I appreciate that, and I look forward to reading their commentary on the website itself. And it's going to help me keep up and have all the great content that needs to be on the site at all times. I do want to go into a little bit of philosophy on how I record my podcast, because I've had some comments come back recently. Hey, how come you don't cut out your uhs and breaks and whatever else I do inconsiderably to you? The reason I don't do it is, hey, I'm a dad. I've got 4 kids. I got a job. I come home. I do this. I record late. I don't have time to go back and spend an hour editing. Obviously, I could go back and do that and make the show a lot cleaner than what it is. But I just don't have the time. So it's going to be, it's live to hard drive. It is what it is. And if that's the way it's going to be. And if you can't handle me saying all the time, obviously I work on that all the time to try to improve my speaking ability to you. But yeah, that's life. That's the way it's going to be. I do have a couple of promos. I want to give a shout out to, again, to Chuck Tomasi. He's coming up to the show. He's going to be giving out some great prizes. But as always, we'll be back with you on Tuesday. So thanks for being with us. As always, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, or you can send email to geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget, send me your top 5 websites, your best-kept secrets, the one you don't tell anyone about, so that we can share them with everyone else, so we can find the great info that you're finding. Look forward to yakking with you all on Tuesday. Everyone have a great weekend. Aloha, and here comes the promo.
Hi, this is Chuck Tomasi from ChuckChat.com, home of the Technorama podcast. I just wanted to pass on a quick reminder that Technorama is rapidly approaching show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool prizes to give away. Find out how you can qualify to win your share of the goods by listening to Technorama, found at ChuckChat.com. Feed your inner geek twice a week with Technorama at ChuckChat.com.
Visit AppleNewsNow.com, your place for Apple News. Very soon, we will be having our 25th show and giving away prizes that you can win. The catch? Just become a registered user and register for the mailing list, and you have yourself an entry into the contest. The Apple News Now 25th Podcast.
Right now, an important announcement.
Experts agree that some listeners have not yet subscribed to the Digital Experience Podcast and say these people are missing out on some of the best technology news, information, and commentary available in podcasting today, as well as the hottest and independent bands on the planet. Do you want to be the one that isn't getting the best tech news updates delivered right to your computer? I don't think so. The latest breaking news on gadgets, software, industry leaders, and more can only be found on the Digital Experience Podcast. To subscribe, go to digitalexperiencepodcast.com and click on the subscribe links, or use iTunes and search for Digital Experience Podcast and click the subscribe button now. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and be in the know in the best tech news and best bands around. The Digital Experience Podcast. Subscribe today.
All right, folks, we'll see you on Tuesday. Aloha. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.